On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're checking in on our state's financial position and tax collections almost 1 month after tax day, as the deadline was pushed back in the pandemic. In Wisconsin and across the nation, states are revising their financial outlooks as revenue collections outpace expectations. We certainly got a taste of that last week. Keyword there, unprecedented, describing revenue growth forecast through mid-2023. What do you want to know about our tax revenue picture? It's 800-642-1234. Peter Barca is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Secretary Barca, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Great to be with you this morning.
Good morning. Well, when we talked with you last October, you were very concerned about where Wisconsin was doing and headed for in this pandemic. You were expecting things to get a lot worse, but the opposite has been true, apparently.
Well, no question. As a state as a whole, we're doing extremely well. We're very heartened to see the kind of progress that we made across the spectrum economically and certainly budgetarily. So we're in a very strong position. Of course, we have to keep in mind not every business is doing terrific. It's still, we still see in the hospitality industry for restaurants and theaters and lodging, they're still slowly pulling out of this public health-based recession, and they're not quite there yet. So we're still working hard to try and help them with their needs. We just finished a Wisconsin Tomorrow grant program that we think will help them a lot. But overall, as a state, we couldn't be doing much better. We have $4.4 billion higher than we had estimated even back in January. So our budget's in very strong position, and we think we're in a very key position now to try to move forward. And the governor had always wanted a Badger bounce back better, and we're certainly positioned to be there in the very near future. We're across the spectrum.
In this key position, though, economists and forecasters don't usually miss projections by this much. And I'm wondering, has it been difficult for forecasters and revenue secretaries like yourself to figure out this recession and truly understand Wisconsin's position?
Well, it has, not only in Wisconsin, but really across America and across the world, because this is, as we all know, a pandemic-based recession. And it was very difficult to predict how quickly these vaccines could be distributed and the receptivity of people that had taken the vaccines and whether or not we could open up as a society, both in Wisconsin and really across America. And the vaccines have proven to be just incredibly effective. And, the rate of people being reinfected is just infinitesimally small if they've gotten the vaccine, which is a key point. That's why we're really encouraging everybody to get the vaccine, because that's the surest means of protecting yourself and your family and those that you surround yourself with, whether it be at work or wherever, from getting sick. So, but thankfully in Wisconsin, we've done exceedingly well. We've been in the top, three or four in the whole nation in terms of the percentage of people that we've been able to get vaccinated with the vaccines that have been provided to us. So it's gone extremely well. And that's part of the reason why we've done much better in Wisconsin than many other states, is because of the effectiveness of the vaccine distribution program.
So vaccine uptake, what you're saying is a key to some of this economic stability and a rosier forecast. But I want to dig into what accounts for the unprecedented surplus here. What is going on?
Well, there's a number of things. I mean, first of all, we have to recognize that a lot of it is because of the federal stimulus money that came in. That's played a very vital role in terms of helping businesses to stay open. But then also, as we looked at it in Wisconsin, the governor made decisions and strategic investments in those industries that were the hardest hit. And we were able to, distribute unprecedented amounts of money to businesses, particularly, as we indicated, like in the hospitality and lodging industry and theaters, things of that sort. But across the spectrum, with Wisconsin Farm Support Program was also very important, economically. And as a consequence, Kate, the other key statistic is that the national employment rate is at 6.1%. In Wisconsin, we're at 3.9.
Mm-hmm.
So that also explains part of it, is that people are back to work, so they're paying their taxes, and they're able to also go out and, you know, buy the goods and services that boost sales tax revenue as well. So across the spectrum, we're seeing just very strong growth because of all of those kinds of factors.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Peter Barca, who is Secretary of the State Department of Revenue, as we look at the state of tax collections and Wisconsin's economic forecast, its position currently in the pandemic. Join in. What should Wisconsin do with an unexpected windfall? What questions do you have about the new revenue estimates, and why our state vastly outperformed expectations? Join in at 800-642-1234. Looking at the money we set aside in our budget stabilization fund, what does this mean, this forecast mean for the rainy day fund?
Well, it means a huge inflow of money into the rainy day fund. We'll distribute about $700 million more into the rainy day fund at the end of this fiscal year. So that means that, you know, the next time we have a downturn economically in America or in the world, we'll be in a much stronger position than we have been in the past, so that, you know, as a consequence, we can avoid having to cut services or take other kinds of measures. So that's another very positive outcome of this that we're, you know, very enthused about.
The budget currently spends a bit less on what Governor Evers had proposed for K-12 schools, falling $200 million short of what would be needed for Wisconsin to keep billion and more in federal funding from the March relief bill. What does this surplus mean, in particular, for education funding?
Well, you know, that's a decision that's made both by the legislature and the governor, ultimately through the budget process. So it's inconceivable to me that the Finance Committee wouldn't take a second look at this. I mean, that's a ton of money to leave on the table. And, you know, if we don't take that money, what it means is it'll be distributed to other states. So, in effect, the taxpayers of Wisconsin would be subsidizing the states around us and across America. So, you know, at a time of unprecedented funds, the federal government is not requiring that heavy of an effort in order to have, you know, these additional one-time funds that we can have to bolster our educational needs or meet the needs all across Wisconsin. Obviously, there's a lot of tremendous needs that we have in various districts across the state. And, you know, to have this one-time golden opportunity to bring in all this additional aid would just be such a huge mistake. And I've got to believe eventually that the legislature will come around in order to realize that.
Do you expect lawmakers will need to pass a budget repair bill this year?
Well, they should not have to pass a budget repair bill if, in fact, they, you know, complete the budget, you know, by June 30th, which is the end of the fiscal year, and take responsible actions and, you know, collaborate with the governor to try to maximize our resources and put us in a strong position. Generally, budget repair bills come about when you have a downturn in finances and you're in a weak position, because we have a constitutional requirement that the budget be balanced. So there should not be a need for that. So I'm still hoping that we've got a couple of weeks left here to pass a balanced budget and one that meets the needs of the state. You know, the governor outlined, of course, in his original budget, you know, what the needs were educationally and in terms of the healthcare needs, obviously, to keep us safe, you know, should these variants take control again. And so I think we've got a very strong, responsible budget that looks out economically for the needs of the state and makes strategic kinds of investments to try and bring prosperity, things like a venture capital fund of, you know, $100 million, which will, you know, be very important in terms of entrepreneurs and a lot of young people who come up with new ideas. An R&D credit, which is something that, you know, we've heard from industries across the state.
Research and development.
Research and development is. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And, And then, of course, workforce investment dollars and having a strong educational system. Those are some of the key things to have economic prosperity. So we're hoping that, you know, they'll pass a budget that will reflect, you know, those values we've always had in Wisconsin and the needs that have been so clearly identified. And, of course, broadband is another one. The governor's proposed unprecedented investments in broadband. And after the pandemic, it's become just so vividly clear how vital, you know, having broadband across the state, you know, will be to prepare us for, you know, the needs that lie before us. You know, in an information age, that's one of the most important things you can do is make sure everybody has access to, you know, high-speed internet.
Revenue Secretary Peter Barca with us. Where should our state put unexpected massive surplus of general fund tax revenue? What aspects of state spending do you want the legislature and governor to see eye to eye on? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Revenue Secretary Peter Barca on the line as we explore our state's fiscal situation, the recent unexpected boost in tax collections. What do you make of the vastly improved economic forecasts for the remainder of the year and the next 2 years? Are you cautious or optimistic about the rosier projections for our state based on what you experience? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. Secretary Barca is with us for 10 more minutes. Secretary Barca, I'm wondering about sales tax collections. What's been the impact of e-commerce, online shopping?
Well, especially during the pandemic, it's been exceedingly strong. In fact, it's enabled us to obviously move commerce across the state, but also it's produced somewhat of a disparity because, you know, one of the whole purposes of the Wayfair decision in Congress and then us passing the Marketplace Bill was to sort of level the playing field between brick and mortar stores and internet sales. But during the pandemic, because of, you know, people trying to rightfully keep themselves safe, they just started buying things through the internet at a much higher pace. And so as a consequence, you know, we've seen a big transfer of purchasing power over to the internet. Now, I expect that'll start to level out. But on the positive side, it's produced income tax cuts because we dedicated the additional funds that we brought in through the Marketplace to income tax relief. The governor run on the idea of giving income tax relief to the average citizen. And, you know, so as a consequence to really a bipartisan deal with the legislature in this case, we're able to deliver income tax relief to people in sort of that middle income category in particular. So it's been a real plus.
Well, on the issue of income tax cuts, let's bring in John in Eau Claire. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. The surplus is the result in large part, if not whole, of overtaxation. Wisconsin's highest marginal rate, which I believe was put in under Governor Doyle, now should be reversed, and this money should be returned to taxpayers to make Wisconsin a more competitive environment.
John, thanks. Secretary Barca, go ahead.
Well, I would say that clearly, you know, Governor Evers has made it a priority to give middle-class tax relief to people. And I wouldn't say it's because of the top rate. It's not because of people at the upper end that are paying more in taxes. It's really been a circumstance that because the economy has bounced back much quicker and stronger, that we've gotten much more revenue into the state of Wisconsin. And part of it, you know, we can make no mistake about it, has to do with federal funds. I mean, you know, we've brought in an unprecedented amount of money from the federal government and direct payments to people. And
the American Rescue Plan
unemployment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unemployment assistance and aid through the PPP directly to businesses. So it's been an increased economic input across the spectrum, not just from individuals, but also from businesses doing better than what we anticipated that's produced a surplus. And so clearly, I think tax relief is in order, and the governor certainly would like to see some degree of tax relief as well, and also ensure, though, that we do make those critical investments in broadband which will really position us for the future in a much stronger position. Things like we talked about already in terms of venture capital and education and training investments. So we have the best workforce possible, because the biggest issue, okay, as we talked about last time I was on your show, pre-pandemic was workforce type issues. And now post-pandemic, that's going to be there again. So having a strong educational system and having workforce type programs, the governor has money in there for workforce housing as well. Because what I hear from CEOs across the state, in many cases, they want to bring new employees in, and there's not housing for them to even live in their communities. So taxes are certainly an important point, but also some of these strategic investments are as well.
So what I'm hearing is it's really a balancing act here. Tax relief is in the mix of a bunch of other things that the state should prioritize.
Yes, I think that's a good way to put it. I think that, you know, we want to have a balanced investment approach that will position us for the long term. I mean, tax relief is important, and we certainly want to see that. But to only do that and not, let's say, improve your broadband, improve your, you know, your workforce training to make sure that we have the best trained workforce in the world, as we historically have had, won't put us in the best position to keep that kind of economic prosperity in the future.
We're talking with Peter Barca, Secretary of the Department of Revenue, as we discuss tax collections and revenue estimates in the pandemic. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Secretary Barca, how did the change in the tax deadline, you know, extending it till May 17th as opposed to April, how has that affected tax collections this year, if at all?
Well, I don't think it affected it too much. I mean, obviously, it was needed relief to give people those extra, you know, 30 days to file their taxes. That certainly was a plus, just given everything that people were contending with. And as I talked to accountants, I think that, you know, they felt like, you know, there was a plus there, a certain degree. But they were certainly prepared and would have been able to make the, you know, the April 15 deadline. So I don't think it had much of an impact. We had, you know, 3.1 million people file, as we have had in the past. And so, but I think it certainly was a plus just from a convenience standpoint from people.
Let's bring in Robert in Milwaukee with a question. Hi, Robert.
Hi. I'm just curious to know, is there such a figure of knowing how many businesses or corporations do not pay any taxes at all in Wisconsin? And if that has any relationship to why we have such a surplus all of a sudden, are more companies paying into it or what?
Mm-hmm. It's an excellent question. And, you know, obviously, you know, we work very hard to try to identify people who have a tax obligation in Wisconsin to ensure that everybody does pay their fair share. And in fact, one thing we're very proud of is we've broken all the goals that were set for the Department of Revenue in terms of identifying out-of-state companies that perhaps didn't know they had a taxable liability here. But it's you know, we don't know for sure. There's been some reports and estimates on a federal level of a certain percentage of people that are not paying that would actually help and bring in more money if they did. But, you know, we think we have, you know, very good tax compliance here in Wisconsin. Wisconsinites are known to be, you know, honest people and that pay their taxes, you know, and make sure that they're doing their part and paying their fair share. So,
has that been an issue, though, with out-of-state companies not clearly understanding Wisconsin's tax code or somehow getting around it and not paying in?
Well, you know, we found out that it actually was an issue. And, you know, when the audit 2020 was passed by the legislature back around 7 or 8 years ago, the idea was to, you know, do that educational type of effort and to do the kind of hard work to identify who had a tax liability. And obviously, we've broken all of the goals that were set for us because there were quite a few that didn't really understand that they had a tax liability when they had, when not a state company, for instance, had employees that were located here in Wisconsin, that they had a liability themselves, which is the case in Berkeley. All circumstances. So that has actually been a plus and, you know, in a small way, it's contributed to the surplus as well. The fact that we've, you know, been able to identify those companies and ensure that they are paying their fair share. And of course, every time out-of-state companies pay a little bit more, then that reduces the obligation for, in-state companies. So that's been a very high priority of ours, and we're very pleased that we've made good progress on that front.
Well, in the last few moments we have here, when will you get the next forecast or a clear picture of those corporate franchise tax payments and income tax withholdings and sales tax amounts?
Well, every month we do a revision internally.
Okay.
And so generally it's about the middle of the month. So by mid-July, we should have a pretty clear picture, mid to late July, in terms of how we ended the fiscal year. But we watch them month by month, and, the economists at the Department of Revenue, they're charged with analyzing, where revenues are at in terms of sales tax and corporate taxes and income taxes and excise taxes. And so month by month, we watch that closely. If you need more information in the future, Kate, we'd be thrilled to provide it.
Secretary Barka, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Always good to be with you.
Peter Barka is Secretary of the State Department of Revenue. We have State Senator Howard Markline next in just a moment on the Ideas Network.